On the day before the festival of the Most Holy Cross of the month of September, while St. Francis was secretly praying in his cell, the angel of God appeared unto him and said unto him in God's name, I exhort thee and admonish thee that thou prepare and dispose thyself humbly and with all patience to receive that which God willeth to give thee and to work in thee. St. Francis made answer, I am ready to bear patiently everything that my Lord willeth to do unto me. And when he had said this, the angel departed. The next day came, to wit, the day of the Most Holy Cross, and St. Francis, betimes in the morning, or ever it was day, betook himself to prayer before the entrance of his cell, and turning his face towards the east, prayed after this manner. O my Lord Jesus Christ, two graces do I beseech thee to grant me before I die. The first, that during my lifetime I may feel in my soul and in my body, so far as may be possible, that pain which thou, sweet Lord, didst suffer in the hour of thy most bitter passion. The second is that I may feel in my heart, so far as may be possible, that exceeding love whereby thou, Son of God, wast enkindled to willingly bear such passion for us sinners. And when he had continued long time in this prayer, he knew that God would hear him, and that as far as was possible for a mere creature, so far would it be granted to him to feel the aforesaid things. Having this promise, St. Francis began to contemplate with very great devotion the passion of Christ and his infinite charity. And so much did the fervor of devotion increase in him that he altogether transformed himself into Jesus through love and pity. And being thus self-inflamed in this contemplation, on that same morning he saw, coming from heaven, a seraph with six wings resplendent and ablaze, the which seraph, flying swiftly, drew near unto St. Francis, so that he was able to discern him clearly, and he perceived that he bore the likeness to a crucified man, and his wings were so disposed that two wings extended above his head, two were spread out to fly, and the other two covered all his body. Seeing this, St. Francis was sore afraid, and at the same time was filled with joy and grief and wonder. He had passing great joy of the gracious aspect of Christ, who appeared to him so familiarly and regarded him so kindly. But on the other hand, seeing him crucified upon the cross, he felt immeasurable grief for pity's sake. Next, he marveled much at so strange and stupendous a vision, knowing well that the infirmity of suffering agreeth not with the immortality of the seraphic spirit. Then all the mountain of Alvernia seemed to burn with brightest flame, which shone forth and lighted up all the mountains and the valleys round about, even as if the sun had risen upon the earth. Wherefore the shepherds who kept watch in these regions, beholding the mountain all on fire, and so great a light round about it, were very much afraid, according as they afterward related to the friars, declaring that that flame continued upon the mountain of Alvernia for the space of an hour or more. In like manner, by reason of the brightness of this light which shone through the windows into the hostelries of the countryside, certain muleteers who were journeying into Romagna rose up believing that the sun had risen, and saddled and loaded their beasts. And as they went upon their way, they beheld the said light die out, and the material sun arise. In the said seraphic vision, Christ, who appeared to St. Francis, spake unto him certain high and secret things, the which St. Francis was never willing to reveal to anyone during his life, But after his death, he revealed it, even as is set forth below. And the words were these. Knowest thou, said Christ, that which I have done unto thee? I have given thee the stigmata, which are the tokens of my passion, so that thou mayest be my standard bearer. And even as I, on the day of my death, descended into limbo, and in virtue of these my stigmata, drew out thence all the souls which I found there, so to thee do I grant that every year on the day of thy death thou shalt go to purgatory, and in virtue of thy stigmata shalt draw out thence all the souls of thy three orders, to wit, minors, sisters, and continents, and also those others who have borne great devotion unto thee, and shalt lead them unto the glory of paradise, to the end that thou mayest be conformed to me in death, as thou art in life. Now when, after long and secret converse, this marvelous vision vanished away, it left an exceeding ardor and flame of divine love in the heart of St. Francis, and in his flesh a marvelous image and imprint of the Passion of Christ. For anon, in the hands and in the feet of St. Francis, the marks of nails began to appear after the same fashion as he had just seen in the body of Jesus Christ crucified, the which had appeared unto him in the form of a seraph, and even so were his hands and his feet pierced through the midst with nails, the heads whereof in the palms of the hands and in the soles of the feet outside the flesh, and the points came out through the backs of the hands and of the feet, where they showed bent back and clinched, on such wise that under the clinching and the bend, which all stood out above the flesh, it would have been easy to put a finger of the hand as in a ring, and the heads of the nails were round and black. In like manner, in his right side appeared the likeness of a lance wound, open, red, and bloody, the which oftentimes thereafter spouted blood from the holy breast of St. Francis, and covered his habit and breeches with blood. Wherefore his companions, before they knew thereof from him, perceiving nevertheless that he uncovered neither his hands nor his feet, and that he could not put the soles of his feet to the ground, and therewithal finding his habit and breeches all bloody, when they washed them, knew certainly that he bore, imprinted on his hands and feet, and likewise on his side, the express image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ crucified. And although he very earnestly endeavored to conceal and to hide those most holy and glorious stigmata which were so clearly imprinted on his flesh, he perceived that he could but ill conceal them from his familiar companions. And therefore he stood in very great doubt, fearing to make public the secrets of God, and knowing not whether he ought to reveal the seraphic vision and the imprinting of the most holy stigmata. At the last, being goaded thereunto by his conscience, he called to him certain of his most intimate friends among the friars, and setting before them his doubt in general terms, yet without explaining the actual fact, he asked their advice. And among the said friars was one of great sanctity, who was called Friar Illuminatus. Now this man, being of a truth illuminate by God, and understanding that St. Francis must have seen marvelous things, answered him after this manner. Friar Francis, know thou that not for thy sake only, but also for the sake of others, God manifesteth unto thee at divers times his mysteries, and therefore thou hast good reason to fear that if thou keepest secret that which God hath shown thee for the benefit of others, thou wilt be worthy of blame. Then St. Francis, being moved by these words, with great dread related unto them all the manner and form of the aforesaid vision, adding that Christ, who had appeared unto him, had spoken certain things unto him which he would never repeat as long as he lived. And albeit those most holy wounds, inasmuch as they were imprinted by Christ, gave very great joy to his heart, nevertheless to his flesh and to his corporal senses they gave intolerable pain. Wherefore, being compelled thereunto by necessity, he chose Friar Leo as more simple and more pure than the others, and to him he revealed everything, permitting him to see and to touch those sacred wounds, and to bind them with certain handkerchiefs for the allaying of the pain, and to catch the blood which issued and flowed from the said wounds, the which bandages in time of sickness he permitted him to change frequently and even daily, except from Thursday evening to Saturday morning, during which time our Savior Jesus Christ was taken for our sakes and crucified, slain and buried. And therefore, during that time, St. Francis would not suffer that the pain of the passion of Christ, which he bore in his body, should be assuaged in any wise by any human remedy or medicine whatsoever. It befell sometimes that as Friar Leo was changing the bandage of the wound in his side, St. Francis, for the pain which he felt when that blood-soaked bandage was plucked away, laid his hand upon the breast of Friar Leo, whereby, from the touch of those sacred hands, Friar Leo felt such sweetness of devotion in his heart that he well nigh fell swooning to the ground. And finally, as touching this third consideration, St. Francis, having finished the fast of St. Michael the Archangel, prepared himself by divine revelation to return to Santa Maria degli Angeli. Wherefore he called unto him Friar Masseo and Friar Agnolo, and after many words and holy admonishments, he commended unto them that holy mountain with all possible earnestness, telling them that it behoved him, together with Friar Leo, to return to Santa Maria degli Angeli. And when he had said this, he took leave of them and blessed them in the name of Jesus crucified. And yielding to their entreaties, he gave them his most holy hands, adorned with those glorious and sacred stigmata, to see, to touch, and to kiss. And so, leaving them consoled, he departed from them and descended the holy mountain.